Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
In the Bible, we can learn a lot about the Word of God by seeing what the Word is like. According to texts that we will study today, the Bible is like seven different things. First of all, the Word is like seed. Seed. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, the Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So the word of God is the incorruptible seed by which men are born again. Now, if that's the case, then you know what? The seed of the word of God needs to be sown thoroughly and regularly. The Apostle Paul said to the Ephesians, he said, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Watch it in verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 1. Paul said, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So what happens is a person hears the word of God, they hear the gospel, then they believe and trust in Christ. So listen, in order for people to be saved, we need to preach or sow the seed of the word of God. That's a very necessary thing. And I have a question for you. If the word of God is like seed and it is the incorruptible seed of the word by which men are born again, here's a very simple question for you. How much of the seed of the Word of God have you sown? That's it. How much of the seed of the Word of God have you sown? Listen, you can sow the seed of the Word of God in tract form. They're inexpensive, they're plentiful, and you can give them to a lot of people. You can give people New Testaments. You can open the Scripture, which is the best, and show them verses in there dealing with their souls. You can memorize verses and quote those verses of Scripture. Any kind of way to get the Word of God out so people can hear it preached and taught and distributed. God gave the Word. Great was the company of them that published it. What have you done? How much of the seed of the Word of God have you sown? Here's another one. The Word is like food. The Word is like seed. That's by how we're born again. The Word is like food. That's how we grow. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. The Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. So it's milk. If it's food, the first kind of food it is milk. That's what babes need. And after a babe is grown a little bit, the next thing that he needs is meat. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 2. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. So meat, the meat of the Word of God. It is also like bread. Jesus Christ said to the devil in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So it's likened to bread. In Psalm 19 and verse 10, the word of God is likened to honey. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 11 says that the word of God is like apples. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. So the word of God is like food, milk, meat, bread, honey, apples. The word of God is a very good diet. Notice there weren't any vegetables mentioned there. You probably didn't like to eat vegetables anyway, did you? I'm just kidding, of course. Now listen, with milk, meat, bread, honey, and apples, you will be thoroughly nourished in the words of God when you eat them regularly, just like you eat food. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Did you eat today? I mean, unless you're fasting, unless you're sick, you probably got up this morning and ate something for breakfast. Maybe you're not a breakfast eater. Maybe you just drank some coffee, maybe a piece of toast, maybe a little bowl of oatmeal, or maybe you're more nutritious than that. Maybe you had a smoothie, or maybe you've eaten some eggs and bacon and had a hearty meal. But you probably had something for breakfast. And if you didn't have anything for breakfast, then by lunchtime, you've certainly had something to eat. You've had a nice lunch, maybe a big hearty lunch. And probably planning on having some supper tonight. If you're not a big supper eater, maybe a little something to eat. All right, so you're eating this food, and the reason that you do that is so that you can nourish your body and keep it strong for the work that you do. And maybe you're very knowledgeable of how your body works, and maybe when you're doing heavy manual work, you eat meat and some beans and hearty food like that, so you've got good energy for the work that you need to do. And then when you're doing more mental work, maybe you back off a little bit, eat things lighter so that you don't get sleepy while you're working at your desk or whatever you do. But you're hopefully somewhat wise about what you're eating, and you're eating regularly and you're eating thoroughly so that you are staying nourished, right? Well, how is it that men have a good understanding of physical nourishment and nutrition and have virtually no understanding of spiritual nourishment and spiritual health? Don't you know that just like eating regular meals, you need to eat the words of God regularly? And the question I have for you is, how much of the word of God have you eaten lately? And I'm talking in the figurative sense of digesting things that you're reading in the Word of God. How much of the Word of God have you eaten in your life? Have you ever read one time the Bible cover to cover? You know, the funny thing about it is, they say about people in America that there's a lot of obesity. People are eating too much food. They're overnourished. As a matter of fact, they've hurt themselves because they've eaten too much. But do you know, I don't think I've ever heard of anybody being spiritually obese because they've eaten too much of the Word of God? I mean, now some people may get messed up because they've got a lot of time on their hands and they've heard a lot of bad doctrine. And so what happens to them is they're eating, but they're not putting out. Remember, the first point of this was to sow the seed of the Word of God. They've just studied and studied and studied, but they're not growing, and they're not giving that to somebody else, and consequently you might say that they're a little spiritually obese, but it's really not from gorging in the Word of God. People are generally not accused of reading too much Bible. All right, so the Word of God is like seed. The Word of God is like food. The Word of God is also like a lamp. Psalm 119, verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So the Bible keeps you on the right path, and the Bible keeps you moving in the right direction. In other words, the Bible is like a spiritual compass. So as you're going, you keep writing your path. In other words, if I start today and I'm a little bit off course and I keep on going just a little bit off course, after I've gone a few days or a few weeks or a few months down the road, I'm way off course. So the Bible's like a spiritual compass. It keeps bringing you back to the proper path. And it makes sure that you're going in the right direction. When you're moving contrary to God, the Bible will show you, whoa, you are moving further away from God. You need to turn and move back in the right direction. So the question that I have for you is, have you checked your spiritual compass bearings, and have you checked your spiritual odometer lately to see how you're doing on God's path for your life? Have you even moved down the path that God has for your life? Well, if you haven't, the Bible is the lamp that shows you where you need to be and where you need to go. Because that's what the Bible's like. It's like a lamp. It's seed. That's how you got saved. And when you sow it, other people get saved. It's food. And when you drink the milk of the Word of God and eat the meat, the bread, the honey, and the apples of the Word of God, you're spiritually nourished. And when you read the Word of God, you set your bearings and you move. You know, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You know where to put your foot down, what step you need to take next in order to stay on track with God. All right, the Bible is also like a mirror, James chapter 1. James chapter 1, the Bible is like a mirror. In James chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Verse 23, 24 and 25 say, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now notice, the man beholds his natural face in a glass. That would be a mirror. So the Bible gives you a true reflection of yourself. That is, when you come to the mirror of the Word of God, okay, you should be able to see what you look like from God's perspective. That's what you ought to be able to do. Now the problem is, as a college professor told me many, many years ago, almost 40 years ago now, he said, the mirror might be distorted. Have you ever been into one of those haunted houses or whatever they call those, the house of mirrors, when you've gone to some kind of a carnival, and they have one mirror and it's convex and another mirror and it's concave and another one, it's all wavy, and you look at yourself in the mirror and you don't look anything like yourself. In one you look skinny, and the other you look fat, and the other you look, just not even put together right. Everything's totally distorted. There are a lot of modern Bibles, and when you look at yourself in one of those mirrors, you are looking in a distorted mirror. Another thing is that some people can come to the Bible with a preconceived idea about it, and they have a distorted view of themselves. It's almost like you're wearing distorted glasses. The mirror is right, but you got these distorted glasses on. You can't see yourself properly. Well, considering that you would come to the Bible to get a true reflection of yourself, and you're looking in the right Bible, I would ask you this question. Have you checked yourself in the mirror lately? Have you really looked at your face in the mirror lately? Have you seen what you look like? That's very important. It's very important because if you don't check, I mean, listen, you don't leave the house usually without checking the mirror. Make sure that if you shave properly, or if you're a lady and you fix your face, that you're fixed properly, or that your hair is right, or your hair is combed, you know, or you've got your tie tied on right if you're wearing a tie, or that your shirt looks right, or whatever. You go by the mirror and take a quick look, and if nothing more, just to kind of see, make sure that everything's in place. Well, the Bible will do that for you spiritually. So have you checked yourself in the mirror lately? The Word of God is like also a sword. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. The Bible is like a sword. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, watch it, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the Word of God is like a sword, according to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It's like a surgeon's scalpel. It slices you with razor sharpness and cuts you to the quick. It goes past what you can see on the outside, like looking in the mirror, and deals with your very thoughts and intents. It will reprove you. It will rebuke you. It will correct you in good measure if you really want to know what's on the inside. You know, the Bible tells us the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, try the reins. Well, the best way in the world to look at a deceitful heart is through the Scripture. Okay? And the question is, have you been thoroughly examined by the words of God lately? Has the Bible sliced you open to look at a thought in your life that's no good, or an intention in your heart that's no good? Has it opened you up so you can see that thing to, like a surgeon, repair what's wrong and close it up? You say, well, I hadn't looked in the Bible for something like that in a long, long time. Well, it's time. It's time. Because the Word of God is like a sword. It is going to dig deep into the inside and clean up things deep down inside that are creating problems on the outside. On the outside, in the mirror, you may look and say, I cuss too much. On the inside, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So you need the sword to get into the heart and clean that up or work on that, and then come out, see, and then all of a sudden you're not talking bad anymore. The Word of God is also like a hammer. Jeremiah chapter 23, and look at verse 29. The Bible is like a hammer. All right, Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? So the Bible can break any sinner whose heart is as hard as an adamant stone. That's the way the heart is described in the Bible. Hard as an adamant stone. You know, so after getting the right view of yourself in the mirror of God's words, and after being thoroughly examined by the sword, if God finds hardness in your heart, the mirror is not going to fix it. The sword is not really designed for breaking up and shattering a rock. You know, so what happens is the Word of God comes after your heart like a hammer and breaks the hardness in your heart and shatters it with the Word of God. Now, you know something? Good Bible preaching is where the Word of God really, really does well as a hammer, because it gets in there and breaks out that rock hardness in a heart. It's a broken heart that you end up with after you really have been, you know, crushed, if you will, by the Word of God, either reading it or even better yet, in preaching it. And the question is, when was the last time the Lord broke something hard in your heart? Some stubbornness, some resistance to the Word of God, to the movement of the Spirit of God, some quenching and grieving of the Spirit of God, some besetting sin. When was the last time that hammer of the Word of God went in there and just broke that stuff out of you and caused that heart to become contrite and broken? That's the kind of heart that the Lord will not despise. And then you also saw when we read Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29, that the Word of God is like fire. Is not my word like as fire? So the Bible burns up chaff and stubble like a grass fire and separates dross like a refiner's fire. You know, in a refiner's fire, they tell me that if you put silver in there and the refiner is refining it, that dross begins to come off and he removes it. And more dross comes up and he removes it. And after a while, they say that the refiner can see his own image, his own face in the silver, and that's when he knows that the dross is all gone. Well, that's a beautiful illustration. So it was when the Lord uses the Word of God like fire in us, and He's refining out the dross, when He can see His own image in us, you know, He's purified us. Chaff and stubble, those are worthless things. Men have a tendency to build on the foundation of God with wood, hay, and stubble. Well, the Bible comes in there and burns all that stuff up. You know, they tell me about grass fires. When you get that thatched grass in there and the cattle are having a hard time grazing, you've got a good fuel in there, you run a good fire in there, and then all that beautiful green grass will come back in there, and all that brush and other thatchy stuff has been beat down. Well, sometimes you need a good fire run through you to burn up all that chaff and stubble so some good stuff can start growing in there. Well, when was the last time the Bible cleaned you up like a fire purifies silver or a fire burns up chaff and stubble? When was the last time? You say, well, the Bible had never done any of those things for me. Then either you're reading the wrong Bible or you're not reading, because the Bible, the Word of God, is like seed. That's how you're born again. That's how others get saved when you're putting out the Word of God. It's like food. It'll nourish you. Milk, meat, bread, honey, and apples. It's like a lamp, so it keeps you on the right path and shows you that you're moving in the right direction. It's like a mirror, so you can take a good look at yourself and be sure that you're doing the Word of God, not just hearing it. It's like a sword, so it'll clean up the inside of you, like a hammer to break that old stony heart of yours, and like a fire to refine you and purify you. Now, I want to ask you something. Is it any wonder to you, then, that more of the people that you know have not been saved? I mean, think of all the people you know and ask yourself, how many of these folks that I know, that I work with, that are family members of mine, that are neighbors of mine, are still lost? You say, well, most of them. Well, should it be any wonder that they are? If you haven't been sowing the seed of the Word of God, well, it's no wonder they're not saved. So you know what you need to do? Be faithful to sow the seed. You say, well, I'd be embarrassed to do that. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. What are you ashamed of? Don't you want to see them in heaven? Just sow the seed of the Word of God. Give them a New Testament. Give them a tract. Give them a witness of the Word of God. Open the Bible and show them. You know, is it any wonder to you that you have not grown more than you have? When you evaluate your spiritual life compared to when you got saved, you might be asking yourself the question, you know, how come I haven't grown up any more than I have? Well, is it any wonder that you've not grown more than you have? If you haven't been nourishing your spiritual life in the milk, meat, bread, honey, and apples of the Word of God, well, you're not growing. So be faithful. Listen, be faithful to eat the Word of God regularly, just like you eat meals every day. Listen, is it any wonder to you that you have lost your way in the Lord's will? Do you even know where you are with respect to God's will? In all this modern preaching that deals with relationships and deals with feelings and deals with be all that you can be and the best that you can be and all that stuff you hear going on today, have you even concerned yourself with God's will in your life? Do you even know where you are with respect to that? Well, is it any wonder that you don't know where you are if you're not reading the Bible any more than you do? Because the Bible is a lamp. It'll show you where it is, where God's will is, and it'll show you how to get there. So be faithful. Listen, be faithful to follow the light of God's Word. Get in that book. You'll find God's will, and you'll find how to do God's will in your life. Is it any wonder to you that you have forgotten what you look like from God's perspective? And I was talking to a man deep in sin one time, and I told him, I said, you know, the problem is you can't see this sin from God's perspective. And if you could, you'd quit it. So you know what you need to do? You need to take a fresh look in the mirror of God's Word and see what you look like from God's perspective and see what the true reflection is. Not of the way you see it, but the way He sees it. I mean, if you're not going to look in the Bible, you're not going to know. Is it any wonder to you that your thoughts and intents are currently so far from God? I mean, look at your own thought life and what comes up. Look at the intentions that you have. What comes up? Are they far from God? Well, it shouldn't be any wonder to you they are, that they are. So you need to let the sword of the Word of God reprove you and rebuke you and correct you so that your thoughts line up with God and your intentions line up with God. Young men that have the intention of marrying some woman that God doesn't want them to marry need a heart examination with the sword of the Word of God so that they can get away from that thought and then patiently wait for God to show them through the lamp of the Word of God where the spouse is that he wants them to have. See? Is it any wonder to you that you're so hard-hearted these days? If you haven't been reading the Word of God, you know what happens? That old heart gets callous, it gets stony, it gets stubborn, it gets out of God's tender, loving, compassionate relationship. You know something? Let the Word of God break that hardness in your heart. You can try to deal with it on the outside. If it's as hard as stone, the only thing in the world that will break it is the Word of God. And go ahead and yield to the hard preaching that's necessary to break up that adamant stone that you call a heart. Is it any wonder to you that you are so impure these days, that you have had no conscience about fornication, or you've had no conscience about drinking and partying, and you've had no conscience about the stuff you listen to and the stuff you look at and the things you're involved in on the internet? Is it any wonder to you that you're so impure these days? Listen, if you've been away from the Word of God, there's no wonder. Let the fire of the Bible purify and cleanse you through and through. See, it's been helpful today to find out what the Word of God is like, because by seeing this, we can make application in our lives, and it's very revealing. Say, man, no wonder my life has been so messed up spiritually. What I have been needing is the Bible, the nourishment, the light, the mirror, the sword, the hammer, the fire of the Word of God. And when you get your life back in order like that, then sow that seed of the Word of God so others who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ can come to know Him. Now, to me, it's very helpful to see the Bible as these things. So very necessary for me to see what it's like, because it reminds me why it's so important for me and why it's so important for you on a daily basis to regularly and thoroughly consume the words of God. I pray today you will cherish that Bible and begin to read and know it and let it do its work in your heart and life. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.